Well, good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This day is a gift from God. Let us use it to worship the giver. Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. We're delighted that you're all here, whether you're here week in and week out, or this is your first time, or you've just started attending church here. We're pleased that you've joined us. Those of us who are here on a regular basis will be reaching out to those of you we don't know to shake your hand, to welcome you, to make you feel at home. And if we don't reach you soon enough, you just come and find us and introduce yourselves. Because we are delighted that you're here, and we want to know you, and we'd like for you to find a home here in this community of faith. One way of finding a home in a community of faith is getting involved. And if you look in your bulletin insert, there are lots of ways that you can be involved in what God is doing in and through West End. I'm going to lift up just a few things. First of all, our new season of Room in the Inn is about to begin. Wednesday, November 6th, it begins and continues weekly on Wednesdays through March. A sign-up sheet is in Reed Hall, and there are folks there who can answer your questions if you've never volunteered for Room in the Inn, or you can contact Sarah McCormick. This program helps provide shelter and warmth and food for folks who otherwise would be on the street. And so we are very pleased that we've had a number of years to take part in this program. And if you've never taken part in Room in the Inn, let me invite you to do so. It can be a life-changing experience. Today is the last day to bring fabric for Anna Bigelow's project. Anna's a third grader here. She's collecting cotton fabric for Thistle Farms. Those folks at Thistle Farms will use that fabric to make rag paper, which will help support that ministry. If you happen to bring it, we've announced this before, but if you happen to bring it today, there is a bin next to the elevator on the first floor. You can leave it there. Thanks to Anna for reaching out in God's name and on our behalf in this ministry. Today at 4 p.m. in the sanctuary, Spanish organist Raul Ramirez will be in concert. He's been described as one of the most brilliant and talented young organists on the international concert scene. He'll be playing works by Bach, Vidor, and includes an organ setting for Saint-Saëns orchestral work, Danse Macabre. I know you won't want to miss this, 4 p.m. this afternoon here in the sanctuary. Also, let me tell you about some special guests who were with us earlier. I think they are with the youth or maybe still meeting and visiting. They're the family who will be living in the home that we are helping to build through Habitat for Humanity. Beatrice Michael and two of her three sons were here this morning to join us. They joined us in worship first service. They've been meeting with the youth in between services. We're delighted to extend hospitality to this family who in some ways is now a part of us and we are a part of them. The work continues on the Habitat House today. We have crews over there working as we speak, and the dedication will be next Sunday. So we were delighted that that family could join us for worship, and I wanted to let you know about that. Now, we know that God is present in this place, but did you know that God is also present in this place, and in this place, and 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 this place? And what if God is present in each one here? What if? Stick around and find out.
God be in our head and in our understanding.
God be in our eyes and in our beholding of wonder.
God be in our mouths and in our speaking the liturgy.
God be in our hearts and in love for our neighbor.
God be in our hands and in our support of young and old.
God be in our feet and in our walk with all people.
Let us now confess how easily we fail to remain open to God's presence in our lives and the things that might be holding us back from experiencing God's presence. God, breath of life, there are moments when we feel like the dry bones filling Ezekiel's valley. When those times come upon us, help us to trust in you, to believe in your spirit of life in us. Do not allow us to lose heart or to abandon hope. Cleanse us from our wrongdoings. Free us from harmful thoughts and desires. Take the dry bones of our lives and enlighten them with your deep and shining love. In Jesus' name we pray. God, who knows us completely and loves us with everlasting love, God grants us pardon and peace. Let us join together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
You may be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come down and join us here, here we go. Yeah, we got some more folks coming down. Wonderful. Come and have a seat with us. Scoot in a little closer to me. It's helpful for me when I tell stories if you're looking at me and if you're a little closer to me. So thank you for helping me out here. I have a friend whose name is James King. Come have a seat with us. James is a pastor like we are. But now James is a bishop, which means he's kind of a boss over a whole group of pastors. But when he was serving a church just the way we do, whenever he would lead worship, he would greet the congregation by saying, "Good morning, beautiful people." And of course, they would say good morning, because who doesn't like to be called beautiful? Now, I know, because I talked with him, why he did that. It wasn't because everybody he saw was beautiful the way somebody on a magazine is beautiful, or a TV star is beautiful, or a movie star is beautiful. No, he saw the light of God shining through each person. And when the light of God shines through you, you're beautiful. You can't help but be beautiful. That means all of you are beautiful. All the folks out here are beautiful. You heard Nancy read a scripture about our bodies being a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, a temple is kind of like a church, and we know that God is present in our church, but God is also present around in the world. But did you know God is present inside you? That's right. In the creation stories, it says that God created human beings in the divine image, in God's own image, male and female. God breathed into them the breath of life, which is God's Spirit, which means God's Spirit lives in each of us, which is what makes us beautiful, which is what allows us to let the light of God's love to shine. And so as you see other people, think, God's light is shining through them. I wonder if I can see it, because they are the temple of God's Holy Spirit, just the way you are, just the way I am. I'm going to be talking a little more about that and telling some stories about that. So if you remain in worship, you'll know what I'm talking about, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for letting your light shine through us. Thank you, God, for breathing the breath of life into us, your Spirit. Help us to see that Spirit and that light in others, and help us to breathe your Spirit and shine your light for others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. A number of years ago, Flannery O'Connor wrote a story called The Temple of the Holy Ghost. It's pretty obvious why I chose that one today, isn't it? In that story, two second cousins come to visit another cousin. The two second cousins are 14. The girl, she's never named in the story, is 12, 2 years younger. The two cousins are in Catholic school, Mount St. Scholastica Catholic School. Their mother put them there because she was afraid if she didn't, that all they would think about would be boys. And she thought that by putting them there, the nuns could keep a good grip on their neck. That's the way she put it. Well, it didn't help much, honestly. They still were pretty much just concerned about boys. But O'Connor tells us that one of their teachers, Sister Perpetua, had instructed the girls that if a young man attempted to do something ungentlemanly in the back of a car, they were to say, "Stop, sir, I am a temple of the Holy Ghost." And she said that would put an end to that. Who says you don't get useful information from sermons, right? So they start to call each other Temple 1 and Temple 2. Their cousin, the 12-year-old, is a lot smarter than they are. If you don't believe it, you can just ask her. But she's also a smart aleck. She's pretty cynical for a 12-year-old. She's not particularly attractive, as most of O'Connor's characters are not particularly attractive physically. And she looks down upon these two second cousins. They've come to visit. She has no idea what to do with them. They're there for the weekend. How in the world to entertain them? At first, she suggests that maybe the beau of Miss Kirby, who rents from them, could show them around, but that wouldn't work out at all. He was so much older. But she realizes, she's sitting there thinking and realizes, you know, that means Miss Kirby is a temple of the Holy Ghost. That's interesting. Well, they finally resolve their problem. They find two boys from that area, both of them 16, both of them able to drive. These two boys are preparing to be preachers in the Church of God, which makes for an interesting combination, these girls from Catholic school and two Church of God, future Church of God preachers. They decide to go to the fair. Of course, the girl stays home with her mother. The mother is never named in the story either. And she can't wait to hear from her cousins what they saw. The fair was this strange and wondrous place with merry-go-rounds and Ferris wheels and cotton candy and sideshows. She had no idea what went on in those sideshows, but she was very interested in learning as much as she could about what was happening at the fair. Well, the two cousins return home that night, and the girl is waiting up to hear about it. Well, they tell her about the usual stuff, but then they tell her about one of the sideshows. In this sideshow, there's a division. There is a curtain down the middle, and women are on one side and men are on the other. And there is a freak. These were called freak shows, in quotes. And so there is a freak who begins to walk from one side to the other and to speak to the men on one side, the women on the other, and to tell them, I'm going to show you something, and this is the way God made me. And I don't dispute the way God made me, but if you laugh at me, you might be the same way. And then after several warnings of this type, the freak reveals that she has attributes of both male and female, man and woman. Well, as the cousins tell this, the girl can't even begin to fathom what that would mean, what that would be like. So the girls go to bed, the two cousins, and the girl stays awake wondering what in the world they had experienced there that they were trying to communicate to her. And in this twilight sleep, she has a sort of dream vision, and she sees the freak, and she hears what they told her the freak had said about God making that person that way, and them not disputing what God had done, and that if you laughed at them, you might wind up the same way. And then in her vision, the freak says, I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. It's kind of a shocker. You mean any human of any description can be a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, believe me, Flannery O'Connor tells this story a whole lot better than I have. So even though I have spoiled some of it for you, let me encourage you to go read it for yourselves. But I think it's very interesting how O'Connor, as she does often, opens up that text about who is a temple of the Holy Spirit and who isn't. The girls see it as a very superficial thing. Temple one, temple two. But their cousin gets a vision of what I believe Paul was speaking about. That each person is a temple of God's Spirit. God imprinted the divine imprint on us from the start, breathed into us the breath of life, and that breath is God's Spirit breathing through us. That's what I believe he was trying to tell the Corinthians. Now, he was speaking into a culture that had a number of different religious influences. Corinth was a busy port city. Lots of different people from all around the world there. And within the community, some scholars suggest that there were folks who were Gnostic. Now, it's much more complex than I can communicate here, but in a very simplified fashion, Gnostics believed that the whole material world was somehow fallen and evil, including the body. And only the spiritual world was good. And that led to two different kinds of abuses. On the one hand, if the body's evil, it's to be subjugated. You can starve yourself, not just fast, starve yourself. You can go around on pilgrimages on your knees. You can take a whip and beat yourself because, after all, this body's evil and needs to be kept down. On the other extreme, however, there were Gnostics who thought, well, if the body's evil, you might as well do whatever you want to with it. Anything is fair game, because after all, it's already evil. Just go out and do whatever you want, which is another form of abuse, not only to the self but to others, right? St. Paul will have none of that. Coming out of a good Hebrew background, he's not willing to separate the body and the spirit. He can't imagine a disembodied person. Even when he talks about the resurrection, he talks about a resurrection body. He doesn't know what that looks like. He says as much. But he can't imagine a person that isn't embodied somehow. And so you can't separate those two. What we do to the body, we do to the spirit. What we do to the spirit, we do to the body. I mean, modern physical science, medical science, has found that there is a kind of ecology that takes place within the human being, and everything you do affects every aspect. St. Paul was way ahead of his time in recognizing that. You see, we still have a hard time thinking about the body and the spirit being together. We talk about having bodies. We have bodies. Like this body is some kind of mechanism we walk around in that belongs to us, and we can do whatever we want to with it, right? Because after all, in our culture, if it belongs to you, if it's my property, hey, I can do whatever I want to with it. St. Paul would say, you don't have bodies, you are bodies. And you don't belong to yourself. Did you hear what he said? You have been bought with a price. That's slave language. That's language of the sale of persons. Now, I know that's offensive, and it should be for us. But in his day and time, the slave was to honor the master, to reflect well upon the master, to serve the master. What he's saying is our bodies don't belong to us. Our bodies belong to God because we are temples of God's Spirit. So how do we do good in that respect? I mean, we're in the middle of dealing with Mr. Wesley's general rules. We've dealt with do no harm. We're now doing good and doing good to the self. It's interesting. Sometimes we, in North America at least, do so much good to ourselves that we harm ourselves. Right? We eat too much, we drink too much, we pump all kinds of substances into ourselves that don't belong in there, that ultimately, while they may provide a brief euphoria, damage us. To do good to ourselves, at least for Mr. Wesley, would be to live in the kind of moderation that prepares us to do good for others. That puts us in the position to do good for others. It's like when you get on the airplane and the attendant says that when those masks drop down, you put on your own mask before you put on the mask of that child or that companion person. You take care of yourself because yourself belongs to God. And since it belongs to God, then we are called to take care of others, to do good for others. In our culture, it's very easy to take the culture's definition of beauty and try to apply it to ourselves. You're beautiful if you have a certain body type. If you're female, it's one body type. If you're male, it's another. You're beautiful if you hang out with the beautiful people. You're beautiful if you dress a certain way. St. Paul says none of that counts. You are beautiful because the Spirit of God resides in you, each and every one of you. Now, we can put that Spirit under a bushel. We can put that light that should be shining through us under a bushel, but we can never hide it entirely. And our job is not only to care for ourselves to the point that we can let that light shine, we can let that Spirit move in the world, but also to look and see if we can't find that light and that Spirit in others. Sometimes you have to look pretty hard. But if you keep looking, each of us has at least a glimmer of that light of God shining through each of us. And in our own lives, sometimes there's a little more, sometimes there's a little less, depending on how much we're trying to hide. But know this, friends, as you care for yourselves so that you can care for others, each of you is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Each of you is beautiful and precious to God, because your life, body, spirit, mind, soul, strength, belongs to God. Now that is good news. Thanks be to God. We remind ourselves of God's presence with us as we affirm our faith. I would invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal. And let us affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, shall I say, beautiful people. We are grateful that God's called us together for worship on this special day. If you're a guest, please join us out these doors right here to your right for a time of fellowship to say hello. And if this is your first visit, out those doors, there's a small table. It's the bread for the journey table. Stop by there and pick up a small loaf of bread for your journey. If you look directly in front of you in the pew racks, there's a gray card. It's primarily for prayer concerns. We ask that you fill those in and put them in the offering plate when it comes around in just a moment. We gather those and we take those and pray over those throughout the week, and they go to a couple confidential prayer circles who also pray for those. They will not be shared with the congregation unless you check the box that says it's okay to share. So that's a confidential channel of prayer for you if you feel called to write something. If you have not yet passed the attendance pads, those are on the inside of each pew. You can pass those down, register your attendance, and as it comes back by, open it, look at the names of the people who you worship with. That's an important part of being in community as the body of Christ here at West End. And then, if it's not too much trouble, if the last person to touch that at the inside of the pew will tear out all of the pages that have been written on and put them on top of the pad. That saves our hospitality team a great deal of time after the service. At this point, our condolences are expressed to a number of people, number of families in the congregation. Jim McFerrin's mother passed away this past week, and services were held in Murfreesboro on October 7th, this past Monday. Bill and Sue Miller are mourning the death of Bill's brother, Elton Miller, who died this last Tuesday, and services were held Friday, October 11th, in Alton, Illinois. Luke and Susan Gregory and their family are mourning the death of Luke's father, John Willis Gregory, who died last Sunday. A reception will be held Sunday, October 20th, from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at the Blakeford at Green Hills. And then a memorial service will be held Sunday, November 3rd at Allen Memorial United Methodist Church in Oxford, Georgia. Lastly, the entire congregation mourns for the loss of Corliss Dillard, who died Monday, October 7th. Services were held here at West End on October 10th, this past Thursday. Among her loved ones connected to West End are her sister, Lynn Herndon, and her children, Rachel Kane, Rebecca Dillard, and Mark Dillard, and her grandson, Adam Tucker, and great-grandson, A.J. Tucker. There's a great deal of love that's pouring out for this family as they mourn the loss of Corliss. Now, let's turn our hearts to a holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and unspoken prayers. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, as your people connected to each other as the body of Christ here in this place, we pray to you with open minds and longing hearts. We ask that you might guide us in our daily walk, enlighten us so we might be able to see our hectic days in more healthy ways. Allow us to slow down and pay more attention to your presence. We want to better care for ourselves and become the person you created us to be. We want to grow and feel your peace. Give us the assurance that in your love, we already have all that we need for true happiness. Empower us to recognize and accept your love so we might share it with the world. Comfort those in our midst who are restless, bored, and unhappy. Surround those who suffer and grieve with love, support, and understanding. Wherever people hunger, use us to nourish. Wherever people wander, use us to give direction. Wherever people are lonely or excluded, use us to embrace and welcome. Allow us to use all our gifts to affirm life across creation. And receive our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. God's generosity knows no bounds. With his assurance, let us praise God with our tithes and our offerings.
Now I send you forth as temples of God's Holy Spirit, letting God's light shine through you as you serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And be fully assured that God, who stamped the divine imprint on each and every one of us, Jesus Christ, who showed us how to live into God's image in the fullest, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Christ's footsteps, be with you this day, this week, and forevermore. Go in peace.